Welcome to Therapy in 10, where Darcy and Hannah combine both their lived and professional experience to bring you a fresh take on mental health, tackling tough questions in just 10 minutes. Each episode is chock full of stories that will make you cry, laugh, and restore your faith. We're so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to Therapy in 10. I'm Hannah and I'm here with my friend Darcy.
Hey, y'all.
All right. And this is episode 6 of our season 3, which is our faithful yet struggling season. I know I've just been enjoying this so much personally, just to honestly get the benefits of hearing Darcy's perspective and things. And so this is a journey that we are all on with our listeners. So in our last episode, we discussed the question of where is the good, and how we so often feel like we are living in the time between the trial and the promised good that is to come from our hard times. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how to wait well and stay faithful during the sometimes seemingly endless periods of waiting. And Darcy's going to start us off today, and then I'm going to jump in a little bit. So,
yeah, so thank you. That was very nice. I love to get your perspective too. and these are, yeah, they're like our own little therapy sessions, the talks we have before and the talks we have after, and then, of course, the talk recorded. So, guys, the last couple of episodes, we've kind of focused on encouragement, biblical truths, a few
transparent
stories, even my personal stories, to let you know that you're not alone in this hard space, the in-between that we called it last episode. So today, we want to talk about some ways to wait well, if that's even possible. I honestly have a hard time in the wait. Some people I talk to are so poised and in the state of like peace during trials. And, you know, I'm not talking about the kind of trials like, you know, I got to take a test the next day kind of pressure. I'm talking about, you know, dealing with big crises, family, medical, loss, grief, you know. And I have those moments, you know, I'll be honest with you, the bits of what I call stoicism, where I look like I could run on water, but I tend to ebb and flow with like highs and lows when under significant pressure in a physical state. So meaning I weep, I become depressed, downcast, because I think that's only natural. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus never told us not to cry. He cried himself, you know. However, I am able now to keep intact my faith in God, but that's been a process over like 8 years of building that up through 4 trials for sure, through 4 medical crises, through other trials and loss. And, you know, that, but now I can honestly say that I've got that. I've got that, you know, our bodies, they can fail us, but the spiritual battle is ours to win when we have Jesus on our side, in our hearts and minds. And, you know, just keeping a constant focus on him through prayer, communicating with good friends, trusted friends, good community, you know, obviously, and reading the Bible. So, you know, I know we say those nonstop, you know, pray, read the Bible, get in the word. And, you know, I want to share with you 6 things that I do outside of just saying that, you know, just saying pray, have faith, exercise, eat right, you know, those kind of things, and read the word during stressful trials. So I want to talk about some other like things. We've touched on some a bit, but, you know, just other things that I do that's completely outside of just saying, hey, have faith and pray. One of my favorite things is you should find a spot in your house, your home, wherever you're living, and devote, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, devote at least 5 to 10 minutes to it a day without any distractions. If you can go longer, the better. So I have this bench, it's like this worn wicker, wasn't really made for outside, bench that has definitely seen a better day. It's got some spider nest underneath right now I need to clean up. We've even moved it from one house to the next. It's under my covered porch. But I cannot let it go. I even bought some like wicker off of Amazon, like wicker roll to like try to repair it. And I'm going to paint it eventually in my free time, which never happens. But regardless, this has such a sentimental value to me because I've just spent so many hours over the past 8 years on that bench. 1, talking to God. 2, just letting my mind simply rest. No phone, no company, no kids, nothing. Just letting it rest. Watching the birds, sunsets, and especially I remember those benches, that bench is where I've sang to my newborn babies and as they get older, we would just sit there a lot in the nice warm sun and just sing. But so that would be the first thing. You know, it doesn't have to be a bench. It can be a, I don't know, a chair, your favorite, wherever. You can sit on the floor. Just find you a place that's all yours and you doesn't go to every day. Journal. We talked about this. I think we had a whole episode on this. But for me, I use a prayer journal that's like got specified little boxes, and it's my brain dump of sorts too. So I lay it down and I walk away for the day, and then I get up and I do it all over again. Mm-hmm. I usually try to get my prayer journal in the morning so that it's like, okay, here, God, I have all this stuff. I'm going to need you to help me take this. And then, like I said, I think you can listen back to the other episode we did. You know, eventually, as your time goes on, you see where God answered your prayers, maybe not in the way you thought, mm-hmm. but that he is working.
Yep.
So music has been a huge lifesaver for me. Inside the hospital and outside the hospital, we were allowed to have music in one of the hospitals that I have. And I have my earbuds in when I'm working around the house or I'm in my office or if I go for a walk, but especially during tough days. And I know for a fact that God has specifically spoke to me through the lyrics of many songs. I listen to Caleb sometimes and they're like, they have listeners come in all the time. I needed that song at the exact right time. And mm-hmm. you know, they always say that's God. That's yeah. not the DJ determining what comes on next or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. And listen to what you love or need. It doesn't have to be worship songs. I listen to all kinds of different genres. Mm-hmm. you know, I listen to Johnny Cash to be reminded of who the person my dad was, that was his mm-hmm. favorite, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, just do, you know, it doesn't have to be worship songs. We're not, you know, that.
Music is so healing. I mean, that's such a therapeutic thing that, I mean, and I mean, I've felt the repercussions of that too in my life. I mean, even just like a good song that reminds me of like a good memory or a good time, I listen to it and I feel happy. Like, I'm just like, okay, things can be good again or whatever. This reminds me of a good time. I mean, there's so much research about like, you can hear a song and then it's just like takes you back to that moment, you know, and it's just, it's very real.
Absolutely. I'm always in the grocery store line and that happens. I'm like, whoa, back to 16.
Yes.
But you know, yeah. So obviously songs can have different sentimental and different mood changes to you. Some songs might make you mad or sad or whatever too. So you need to, you know, be wary of that, I guess. But, you know, God gave us this gift of music, and music transcends all cultures, you know, mm-hmm. so it's a communication that we all have, whether or not we can speak each other's languages. So, and actually just interesting, just to throw this in here, the biblical history of music starts in the Old Testament with a man named Jubal. He's the inventor of musical instruments, and that's in Genesis. And then you skip to the New Testament, where the Hebrews are given much of the credit for the cultivation of music, and the period of Samuel, David, and Solomon is known as the golden age of Hebrew music. So if you think about the Psalms, you know, a lot of them are, you know, poems or song, they're actually sung. And so, but this is when music just first became systematically refined, and it was an essential part of training in the school of prophets. And just found that a little bit interesting as to how far that goes back. But yeah, I was, not to like go into full detail, but I wrote a blog post about, you know, when I said music helped me in the hospital. And it was this one time when I was in the women's hospital, and it was a radio, literally an old radio with a broken antenna that we had to put in the window to get any reception. And we like probably six or seven of us women, all different ages, some were teenagers and stuff like that. We just had this very bonding moment. Well, not even moment. It was for hours. We sat back there, singing songs, talking, you know, and some of us like different kinds of music, and the other one would be like, turn it back so she can hear her song. You know, it was just, it was very therapeutic, and it was very just, I call it surreal, you know, really big feeling of peace that encapsulated the tiny room that we were in. So definitely music provides a temporary release, you know, from our captive minds and our thoughts. How many times do you listen to something and you break out into, you know, do you remember the lyrics and you start breaking out a song? And when you do that, your mind starts to let go of some of the other stuff, that the hard stuff that you're holding on to right now. So anyway, enough to say, obviously music is one of my favorite techniques. Cleaning, I know that sounds crazy, but cleaning actually helps us to get out a lot of aggression and stress, especially when you use that time maybe to talk to God. You know, that's a really good time to talk to God, clean out a closet. So also work on things within your own domain. And I say that lightly because I hate to use the word control, because I acknowledge God's sovereign control. But there are the small things within our control, like what am I going to eat for breakfast? So I can get up and I'm having a rough day. And I know that I need something a little bit more nutritious. I know I wasn't going to talk about that. But what I'm saying is I need something to set the tone for the day, especially when I'm feeling really, really like just crappy. Things going on, you know, make sure I get to work on time, kids get to soccer, etc. There are things within our control. Obviously, there are the circumstances that pop up, you know, there's a wreck, mm-hmm. so you don't get to work on time. But what I'm saying is to focus on a smaller reign, you know, like a smaller area of things that you can control. And it gives you a little bit more, you know, sense of assurity, like, okay, you know, I'm going to let God handle this big stuff going on, but I'm going to do my part. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to handle, you know, what I can. So, and then this is so funny because right before we got on the call, Hannah and I were talking about, we're reading the same devotion. And that would be my sixth thing I would say. So I didn't even know what devotions were until I needed them. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like 7 years ago, I think I started discovering devotions. And basically, you know, they're just books often with like, some are like, you know, most of them are usually daily that you go through, and they have a verse and then usually like a relatable story, like a real-time story, not just the biblical story. And so we're both reading Streams in the Desert by LB, is it Kalman or Komen?
Yeah, and there's like a compilation of a bunch of different authors, but yeah, he's the, I think, main editor guy.
Yeah, and so today, before we got on, she was like, did you read today's devotion? Because it was perfect for this, and I was going to touch on it. And so we decided I would just like read it. We love the whole thing. It's honestly not that long. So I'm going to read it, and then Hannah's going to dive deep into what she calls a whole list of words that start with P. So, but this devotion says, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. Then the Lord said to him, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. And that's Acts 7:30 and then 33 through 34. So here's where it gets meaty. And I love this. This honestly, you know, just warmed my heart today because it reminded me of things I'm going through now. But it says, 40 years was a long time to wait in preparation for a great mission. Yet when God delays, he is not inactive. This is when he prepares his instruments and matures our strength. Then at the appointed time, we will rise up, and be equal to our task. Even Jesus of Nazareth had 30 years of privacy, growing in the wisdom before he began his work. God is never in a hurry. He spends years preparing those he plans to greatly use, and never thinks of the days of preparation as being too long or boring. The most difficult ingredient of suffering is often time. Man, I resonated with that part. Mm-hmm. A short, sharp pain is easily endured, but when a sorrow drags on its long and weary way, year after monotonous year, returning day after day with the same dull routine of hopeless agony, the heart loses its strength. Without the grace of God, the heart is sure to sink into dismal despair. Joseph endured a long trial, and God often has to burn the lessons he learned into the depths of our being. Using the fires of prolonged pain, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And that's Malachi 3:3. Yet he knows the specific amount of time that will be needed. Like a true goldsmith, God stops the fire the moment he sees his image in the glowing metal. And there's more of it, so I'll let Hannah decide if she wants to finish reading the rest of it. But I love this one part. It says, don't steal tomorrow from God's hands. Give him time to speak to you and reveal his will. He is never late, so we must learn to wait. Mm-hmm. So Hannah, I want to hear all about these P's.
Yes, that you got going on. So as usual, God is, he always just does this and I love it, but he's always teaching me a very parallel lesson in my own life whenever we get on here to talk about these things. I'm going to share a story about that in a minute. But yes, so as I was kind of like thinking about this whole concept of like waiting well, and what does this look like? I feel like the Lord just really brought, like, he just started laying out these, like, I don't even know how many there are, like maybe five P's of, you know, Darcy has the five D's and I have the five P's. but of just kind of ways to wait well, or things to, I would actually probably more categorize it as like things that we can pray for, or things that we can just kind of help us through this time. So, and the first one is prayer, and I'm not going to touch on that because Darcy already did, but prayer should be the first thing we do and the thing that we're always doing, you know, staying connected to the one true source of life and hope. And we can use prayer to ask for the rest of the four P's, like I just said. I mean, with anything, like if you think about waiting, like if I'm waiting to see someone that I haven't seen in a long time, if I'm waiting for this thing, like, but I don't communicate with the person that I'm going to see or the thing, you know, if I don't, like, even if I'm waiting to hear back from a job interview, like, I'm going to try to follow up and say, hey, like, there's a piece of communication there with waiting. I mean, we can't just, like, sit silent. And so prayer is communication with the Lord. So, and the second one is patience. And this is where my story comes in of how the Lord convicts me with my own words, which is super fun. but because, like, what even is patience? Like, when people are like, oh, you should have patience. Like, we know what that is. And I think there's a Joyce Meyer quote that says that, you know, patience is not the ability to wait. It's how you act when you're waiting. But this is just, I think this is just a good picture of how sovereign God is over this entire process of what we are doing with this podcast. But, literally yesterday morning, I was talking to my 2-year-old about what patience means, because she was, kept asking me for the same thing over and over. And if you have or have ever had a 2-year-old, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't do it immediately, she's not like yelling at me, but she's just like, Mommy, can you do this? Mommy, can you do this? And I'm like answering her every time, but she's still like, but I'm like, she's still asking me. And I'm like, so my actual words to her, like verbatim, I told her, I was like, okay, baby, like I'm going to do it. You just have to be patient. Okay. Like mommy's almost done with this. And I said, patience means that you are really good at waiting and you don't whine the whole time while you are waiting for what you want. And then literally in my like spirit, the Lord's like, yeah, you could do well to listen to your own self. I feel like I could just like stop talking right now and it would probably suffice for people to understand how much God just like really used that to convict me, and not for the first time, my own words. But I just love his sense of humor. It's really great. But honestly, just waiting without whining and just trusting instead. Like, obviously a 2-year-old isn't capable of that, you know, completely in an ideal world, but like, to really sit there and trust that, like, I'm going to do the thing she just asked me to do because I'm her mom and I love her and I'm going to do this thing because she wants it. Like, I mean, yeah, it would, she wouldn't have to keep like whining about it. But again, sometimes I'm like, all right, I could learn that lesson too. So perspective, is the third one. So my prayer recently has just been that God would shift my perspective to be his, that I would learn to see things from his point of view as much as possible. And not just from my limited viewpoint. You know, if we could always be reminding ourselves of how big and powerful and sovereign God is, and that anything that is happening in our lives is just one small brushstroke in God's ultimate masterpiece, like the things we go through don't often make sense by themselves, you know, out of context of the bigger picture of what God's doing. And I think taking a step back as much as possible and even just, I think, asking God of like, all right, God, show me the bigger picture, like, or help me to somehow step outside of this and realize that like this is part of a bigger plan. And the fourth one would be power. So obviously God is big and powerful, but speaking of power, we have at our disposal that great power of the Almighty God that raised Jesus from the dead. We will not be defeated. Jesus already has the victory. Even when things seem bleak, we can stake our lives on the fact that we will not be destroyed. We can tap into the power of God. We can truly say, Lord, I am weak. You are strong. You can help me wait through this hard time. You can strengthen me. You will strengthen me. Like, you know, declaring our trust in him, I think, is important. You know, and as I said earlier, like, patience is rooted in trust. If we don't trust the person or trust that the thing's going to happen, like, we're going to be impatient. But when we truly have that, you know, trust in his power and who he is, then it's a, you know, it's a lot easier to be patient. And the last one is just perseverance. So when I think of this, I imagine a lighthouse, right, being buffeted by the waves constantly, but staying strong because of its ultimate purpose and necessity. So God put us on this planet for a reason. He's not, you know, we're not just here just by chance. You know, he is working in us and through us, and even when we feel like we don't have the strength, I mean, for me, sometimes I just remind myself that God is using me for something bigger than myself, even if I never get to see what it is before I die. Like, maybe the ripple effect of the things I'm doing, saying, experiencing, you know, like whatever, maybe those things won't actually come to their full, you know, resolution, or I won't see the true fruit from that labor until I'm in heaven. And that, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'll see people in heaven later who are maybe all the result of a word that I spoke or something that God used. So the point is like, I have to believe that this won't go to waste. And that's what keeps me going, you know, like that, just persevering through it. And I mean, it's all rooted in trust. I think the ability to wait ultimately boils down to us being able to trust in who God is. So those are my five P's.
Absolutely. So those are, yeah, all wonderful points. And I love alliterations in the P's. So, you know, I did the D's. So
I didn't even try. The Lord was just like, boom, 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 boom in my head. And I like had to get a sticky note because they were just like coming out of my brain. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So your last one was perseverance. And we are reminded about this very thing throughout the Bible over and over again. You know, the Bible is a book of people who persevered through life-altering and often deadly circumstances. You know, in James 1:4, it says, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. We're reminded here that God wastes nothing and uses even times of trials and suffering to bless us. Friends, I am nothing without the trials, the marks, mm-hmm. and the scars of my life. You know, there is a true refining in the fire. And I don't speak lightly of the things that people have walked through, you know, the oppression that people are currently living in. But I love to be reminded over and over from his word that the poor in spirit, the oppressed, these are the ones who inherit the kingdom of God. So Luke 6:20 through 21 tells us that, you know, he says, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And I know that that means that's more of like a spiritual hunger and, you know, going from spiritually poor to a spiritual hunger. But it is talking about just being the oppressed ones. We, you know, the oppressed ones who undergo trials are the ones who inherit the kingdom when you keep your faith and trust in Jesus. So, you know, guys, I pray and hope that our listeners are getting something valuable out of these talks. And most of all, I hope you coming from our mouths, Hannah and I, and the little snippets that we tell you of our life, I hope that you see that we also represent and walk out what we talk. Mm-hmm. Our ultimate goal is that you hear about our amazing Savior and you run towards him with your heart, mind, and soul. Mm-hmm. So guys, I'm so glad you joined us. We would love if you told a friend about us. Instagram at therapyn10, the number 10, and at therapy_in_10 on Instagram. And you can subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening apps. And until then, Hannah and I hope you have a blessed week.